If you travel to Maribara very often, you'll go straight past my house. As you're going into Maribara, you go past the Heinz's timber mill or the logging mill as you come into Maribara, and the next house you go past is mine. And so we live right next to the logging mill there. If you're very observant, you'll notice that probably every second week you go past there, there's a new vehicle sitting in the yard. Because one of the things that God seems to do with Amanda and I is use us for a channel of vehicles going all over the place. So we've had more vehicles sitting in our yard than we can poke a stick at. And I laughed the other day when we were doing the census. And at that time, you know, it was funny, you put in your amount of money that you earn, you know, and I said, how much are we going to put in here, you know, because we live by faith and we just believe God for our finances, so sort of somewhere between 20 and 40,000 or something like that we put in. And then the next question is, how many registered vehicles do you have? And it's sort of like we've got, you know, we make sort of $20,000 a year and we've got 6 registered vehicles. It's sort of like, it's really quite funny. I amuse myself sometimes, and the funniest vehicle, and if you drive up to Maribara, I'm guaranteeing you would have seen it sitting in our yard there over the last probably 6 to 12 months, has been this beaten up old ambulance that a lady from Pune gave us. I had no idea what I was going to do with it. It was like, my goodness, this is one of those challenges that God puts in front of you. And she just laid it on her, God laid it on her heart to give me this vehicle. And I just thought, well, I can see why God laid it on your heart to give it to me, because it's going to cost me like $1 million and you didn't want to pay it. And that's not really what I thought. Yes, it was actually. And let's be honest. And anyway, so I went to the Lord and I said, what do you want me to do with this monstrosity? And Danielle and Brittany both go to high school, and both of them said, don't ever take me to school in that. And apart from that, don't ever pick me up in it. If you are going to pick us up in that, pick us up around the corner. And a few times I picked them up in it just because I could. Anyway, God just said to me, I want you to keep it. It's going to cost you something, but I've got a plan for this ambulance. And so I thought, well, it better be a good plan. And I'm sure it would be if God was in it. And so we decided that we were going to paint it bright orange. I don't know why. I just chose bright orange. It was the colour that I felt God laid on my heart. It was like bright orange. And so we sort of started to get it ready to put it in and get it painted and all those things. And I was down on the Sunshine Coast taking a couple of people from our church to check out the Bible College down there. They wanted to check it out. And there was this, sitting in the car park of the church was this old Toyota Coaster, which you'll now see sitting in my yard at home. And I just got talking to these people about this coaster, and they said, oh, we don't want it anymore, you can have it. And I went, oh, okay, well, you know, who knows what God wants to do with it. You know, we'll do it, do something with it. And I said, well, what are you getting rid of the coaster for? And she said, well, we have this ministry called Streetlight, where we go out and we feed the homeless people and do all those sort of things. But we've been looking for this vehicle that's a little bit smaller than the coaster, and we're after something that's a bit of a talking point, that's unique. And I said, well, I definitely got a vehicle that's unique. If you want something that looks like it just comes straight out of Ghostbusters. And I said, but the thing is, I'm just about to put it in and get it painted bright orange. I'm not sure, you know, if you're interested, I'll hold off and we'll paint it white and you can do whatever you like with it. She said, no, bright orange is great because that's the colour of our ministry. And so we have just delivered that vehicle to a big church on the Sunshine Coast to use in a street care ministry. And, you know, when it left to go there, it looked pretty good. It looked pretty good. So God is in everything. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that God is in everything that happens. I do know that sometimes the things that God wants us to do in life don't make sense. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're sort of thinking, what are you doing, God? I do not understand at all what on earth you are doing with me. But right now, all I've got is the fact that I can trust you. And this morning, the verse I want to speak out of is just one very simple verse. You'll be able to remember it, and I'm sure that you already know it before I'll even start to say it. It's out of Romans 8, verse 28. And we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I think if all of us could just live by that one single verse, then we would really have not a great deal of problems to worry about, because we know in all things. Now, I went to the dictionary and I had a look, actually went onto the internet even, because the internet knows everything. We know that, don't we? If you want to find out something, you go straight onto the internet and go onto Wikipedia or something like that. And I had a look at the definition of the word all. And you know what it is? Everything. All. All is all. And so in all things, so in every single thing that goes on, my God works for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And I thought, God is in all things. And sometimes we look around and we think, God, how can you be in all things? How can you be in the things that go on in life all around us? If I'm sounding a little bit croaky this morning, I've just spent 3 days with 27 grade 9 kids, and basically I haven't spent as much time my whole entire life praying for kids and crying, which is probably, I'm worn out from crying actually more than anything. I said to my wife when I came home, Amanda, I said, I'm not a very cryy person. I'm compassionate and I'm kind, loving, and I feel people's hurts and pains, but I don't cry a great deal out. I'm very composed. I can usually hold it all together and pray for people and do all those sort of things. And in the last 12 months, things have happened in our own family that have caused me to cry. And that is really weird. And so I was away on this camp with these kids and they're sharing with me, and I'm having to stop every now and then just to compose myself. So, it was an interesting three days away with those kids. So, that was awesome. That was just a bit of a sideline there for no reason at all. God is in all things. God is in all things. You'll get used to me after a few minutes. I sort of wander around a little bit and say a few things here and say a few things there, but we get to the end of it at the end eventually. And you should all be home to have tea with your families tonight. In Jonah chapter 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come before us. Go down to verse 3, but Jonah ran away. Verse 17, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. In his distress, what did he do? The next thing he does, he called out to God. Isn't that just typical of us? Isn't that just typical of us? God tells us to do something. You know, as a church or as individuals, we get so excited. God, give us something to do. Show us something. Give us a great plan. Show us. We will do anything you tell us to do, God. Please tell us. And then, as soon as God tells us, we just run away. Well, that's too hard. Don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And then we find ourselves in a bigger mess in the belly of a whale. And what do? Help me, God. Help me, God. I'm in the belly of a whale. Oh, in my distress, I call out to you. And I don't know if that's you, but that's me sometimes. I often, over the years, have been told things from God and have ran the other way. In my distress, it says, I called out to the Lord and he answered me. And then, after the Lord had dealt with Jonah in the belly of the whale, in verse 10 of chapter 2, the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah out onto dry land. And what was the first thing that happened after he got vomited out onto dry land? Chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came a second time. Go to Nineveh and proclaim the message that I've given you. He could have saved himself a lot of days in the belly of a whale. He could have saved himself a lot of pain and a lot of hurt if he would have only just remembered that God is in all things. If God told him to go to Nineveh, it would have been just as easy to go in the first place. instead of just having to go through the experience of being in the belly of a whale and they get spat up onto dry land. I don't know, my mind's a little bit funny sometimes when I think about those things, but I often think that fish must have been pretty huge to swallow Jonah. And it wouldn't have been able to get right up to the edge of the beach to spit him out. So I reckon it would have had to been back a bit, and I reckon it would have just projectile vomited him straight out onto the beach. I would have loved to have been there to see this, like people standing on the beach fishing, and next minute this, in the middle of nowhere, out comes Jonah, covered in whatever. It would have been pretty cool, I reckon. You know, God had a plan. He wanted Jonah to go and do something for him. Go and tell the people what I want them to hear. But Jonah took the long way around because he doubted that God was in all things. He doubted that God was in all things. We're really happy when God tells us to do nice things. But when God tells us to do something that we don't want to do, or something that could cause us a little bit of pain or a little bit of financial grief, or when we're, you know, it's easy to go and bake a cake and give it to your neighbour. But when God says, go to the bank and take out $1,000 and give it to somebody. Oh, that's starting to hurt a little bit. Did I really hear God right that time? And I've been in those situations myself when God has said to do something and you think, how can God be in this? How can God be in this? It's the last bit I've got. I don't know whether it'll work. And I remember when we lived in Longreach, God told us to, there was a ministry coming through town at the church, and God told us to take out our last $1,000 out of the bank and give it to them. And I'm going back 17 years now, so $1,000 was a lot of money back then, even as it is now. But we had $1,000 worth of bills that we had to pay with that money. And but God said, go and do it. And so I said to my wife, well, Amanda, what do we do? She said, hello, go and get the money out of the bank. And so we went and got the money out of the bank and we paid it. And I was laying in bed that night and I thought, God, what do we do now? And we had a car sitting in Mackay because we'd moved to Longreach. And we had a car sitting in Mackay that we had at my brother's place for sale. And that night my brother rang and said, oh, I've just sold that car for $2,000. And I just put it in our bank account. We made $1,000 on that transaction. That was pretty awesome. But when God is in all things, then all things work out for good. Everything works out for the good if we just trust that God is in all things. It's pretty simple, isn't it, this morning? If we stop and try and make it less complicated, then we realise that life can be so much simpler if we just believe that God is in all things and everything works out for the good. Many years ago, Amanda and I were travelling to Maryborough to have a look at our business that we'd bought down there. We had only just bought a business, or we were just in the process of buying this business in Maryborough, and we hadn't yet made it down to Maryborough to have a look. So we were travelling from Longreach, where we lived, and we were running late. We got away late in the afternoon, and we'd driven, and Danielle was only a baby of 6 months old, and she was a refluxy baby, and so basically she was wow, 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 wow all the time, you know, so I never stopped. The only thing that's changed is now she's gone from wow, wow, wow to actually words, and she's a better talker than me, actually. But we got to Rockhampton and we went into McDonald's. This was probably about 9:30 at night, and we had to be in Maryborough with another 5 hours down the road. And we got there about 9:30 and we had something to eat, hopped back in the car about 10 o'clock. And just as we were driving out of Rockhampton, it started to rain. Pour rain. Absolutely team down rain. And I turned on the windscreen wipers to hear that absolutely hideous sound that we've all heard, where the windscreen wiper has slipped off and the metal is just now on glass going... It's pouring rain, it's freezing cold, I've got a screaming baby in the car, we're tired, and I've got 5 hours in front of me to get to Maryborough. And I'm thinking, oh God, what are you doing? So I stopped, and there wasn't much traffic on the road, but I stopped just outside the big roundabout at Rockhampton there, hopped out of the car. It was freezing cold. I was wet, and that windscreen wiper had to be the one on the other side, didn't it? So I had to walk right around the car, hook it all back up again, fix it all up, and get back in the car, which took me about 5 minutes in total. Got back in the car, dripping wet, in the car where the heater didn't work. It was cold. I was now grumpy, and I'm thinking, oh, God, you know, this is ridiculous. And 5 minutes had transpired probably in that whole time. We drove down the road about 30 kilometres down the road about 30 minutes. And three cars in front of us, there was a massive accident. Everyone was killed. A truck had just swerved across and hit the car. And I reckon that car was about 5 minutes in front of me. And I thought, I don't really care so much about being cold now. I don't really care so much about being wet. I'm just thankful to be alive. And I'm just thankful that God is in everything. And I've learned from that small lesson that if God is in everything that goes on in life, even in the good times and the bad times, we have to be prepared to say, I'll accept this. I'll accept this no matter what happens. We travel a lot. Amanda and I and the kids, we travel a lot. And in the early days, we would do kilometre after kilometre after kilometre. And living by faith, I don't know if anyone's ever lived by faith, but that sort of means sometimes that when you're travelling, you don't know where your next dollar's coming from. And we were doing a six-week ministry tour. And we were leaving home. We hopped in the car to leave. And we were actually hopping in the car to leave, and I said to Amanda, we can't go. And she said, why not? I said, we have no money. We haven't even got enough money to get to the fuel station. And she said, you believe that God said we should go? And I said, yeah, I do. She said, well, let's put the kids in the car and let's go. Let's go. So we hopped in the car, packed the car, hopped in the car, and we were sitting there. And a mate of mine pulled up not 2 minutes later. And he said, oh, I've been meaning to give you this for weeks. But the church we go to took up an offering for you. And here's $200. And I thought, well, $200 in 6 weeks? We're on the move. We're going somewhere. And so over that time, you know, that $200 got us to the next town. And where God had another lady come up and say, God's telling me to give you another $50. Here's another $40. Here's another $30. We did the whole 6 weeks like that. And you sort of think, wow, God is in this. And we were really excited. It was got to the point where we were sort of thinking, God is really in this. You know, this is sort of like, it was like a bit of a drug. You know, we were sort of excited about where the next things were going to come from. We got to a little town. I don't know if you've ever been out there, a little town called Windora. Basically, it's a dot on the map in the middle of nowhere. You can walk around the whole outskirts of Windora in about 4 minutes. And we got to Windora. At that stage, fuel was $1.08 a litre. And we're going, I can't believe if it ever got to $1.10, we'll stop driving. And it was $1.08 a litre. We booked into a cabin there. We had enough money to pay for the cabin, which was $90. I remember that. We had to get up the road to another town to do RE in the school, so we needed to put $50 worth of fuel in the car. So that got us to $140, and we had $10 left to buy some food. And we went and bought 4 cans of baked beans and a loaf of bread. That was it. We were finished. We had nothing. And the next morning, we jumped in the car, and I said to Amanda, we'll just pack everything in the car because we haven't got enough money to come back and stay here, and, you know, tonight. We'll just sleep in the car if we have to or whatever, and we'll just do that. And we're driving up the road, up this dirt road, up to a little town called Junda, and we were about 30, 40, 50 k's up the road, up this dirt road, and we were just in right, you know, everything was going along great. We were having a great time, and dust was flying up around the car, and the kids were happy, and birds were singing in the clouds. I'm painting a terrible picture there, aren't I? Anyway, it was just a good drive. And we came up over this little rise in the road. It would not have been more than a little bump like that in the road. and just flying along, come up over this and came down the other side, and there was a rock in the middle of the road about the size of a brick. And I remember the car going, bottoming out as we went over this little thing, which didn't really worry me because I thought if you hit it fast enough, you'd just keep going anyway. And we just kept going. And Amanda said to me, do you think you need to check that? Because it sounds like there was a bit of a grind there. And I said, well, you're probably right. There was a bit of a grind. Maybe I should stop and check it. So I pulled up and there was oil and automatic transmission fluid and you name it. It was just pouring out from underneath the car. And I would love to say that I got out of the car that day and went, hallelujah, Jesus, you are so good in this situation. I'm going to praise your holy name, Father, above all fathers. In all situations, we give you thanks. But I know, to be really honest, I actually got out of the car and I actually swore. Yeah, more than once. I was pretty cranky. I could have jumped on that car and just smashed it. Anyway, it was a long road back. I'm standing there in the middle of in nowhere now with two kids in the car, Amanda, no money, no food, and no way. And all I had was God. And, you know, from that moment that happened, is a massive story that by the time we got back to Maribor and got our car repaired and all of that, cost me $16,000. The actual trip to get the car back to Maribor and get us back to Maribor turned out to be about $5,500. And I walked back into Maribor, got the car repaired, and the whole trip cost me $200 out of my pocket. I don't know where God got all that money from. I don't know how God did it. But we spent more nights in motels in that time. And we hired a car in Longreach for one 24-hour period to drive one way, and it cost me $1,200 for one 24-hour period to drive it back from Longreach to Maribor. And I don't know where the money came from to pay for that. Every time we put the card in the machine, there seemed to be money there. But $16,000 later, God got us back. And I had to stop and believe that in everything, God works for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And I remember the words that we spoke. Are we meant to go on this trip? Yes. Were you called according to God's purpose? So let's go and just let God work out the rest. 12 months later on, you're not going to believe it, but 12 months later on, we were travelling out to Charleville, and we had a caravan behind our car, and we stopped about 30 or 40 kilometres short of this property where we were going to minister. And I got out and all I could smell was burning rubber. And I walked behind the caravan and I heard God's voice. Let's see how you handle it this time. It was like God was putting me to another test. You didn't do very well last time. Let's see how you go this time. And the axle in our caravan had collapsed and you know, all of those things. But I remember standing there going, God, you're in this, and you're going to get us to where we've got to go, and you've got to get us home. And you know what, God? Thank you that we're upright, not laying on our roof. Thank you, God, that we've got people all around us who can do stuff for us. And thank you, God, that you are in this, because you are the God who works all things for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And I was pretty excited about the fact that God can do anything. And this morning, I want you to know that in all things, God works for good, for you and for me. For that lady who's got the video shop, God's working good in all things. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God's working it all out. You know, rejoice that God's bringing in another thing. Because God's going to do something awesome through you and through your video shop. That's pretty exciting. I was excited about that. I don't reckon Moses' mother would have been very excited at the thought of what was going to happen to her in Exodus 2. Now, a man from the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months, but then she could not hide him any longer. So she got a basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. Then Pharaoh's daughter came down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Wouldn't that be the most heartbreaking thing for a mother or a father to have to take a baby and put it and give it away? Just, I don't know, it would have been really hard. But I love verse 7. Then the sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to come and nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take the boy and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby, which was her son, and nursed him. I'm sure at the very beginning of that, she may not have thought that God was working all things together for good. But he did. He did. She got her son back, and she got paid to look after him. That might have been the actual beginning of Centrelink, I'm not sure. Sounds good. God works all things for good for those who love him. You know, if you've got a purpose, I look at purpose, vision, direction. If God's given you a purpose, a vision, a direction, then he's going to work all things together for good for you. If you've got a purpose, a reason to live, or something that God has told you, what is it? A purpose, having a reason to do something, a vision, the ability to see what's direction, knowing where you're going. So we could say this morning that if you know where you're going, or have the ability to see what God wants you to do, or God has given you a direction, he's going to work all things for good because it's according to his purpose. And this morning, Helen Keller says, worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And this morning, for the church in Tin Can Bay, let's have vision and sight. Let's believe that God can do anything. You know, it's really hard. You think, oh, how can God do that? How can God do this? Well, if it's according to his purpose, then he's going to work it out for good. And we don't have to worry about it. Let's stop looking for excuses this morning. Let's stop looking for an excuse to not do what God has called us to do. 14 years ago, when I was 17, God gave me a vision to go and do children's ministry in Western Queensland. And I have held on to that for all of my life. And a few years ago, actually 14 years ago now, I said to Amanda, we were laying in bed one night, and I said, what if God got it wrong? What if I got it wrong? What if I didn't hear God? What if the plans that I have been working towards that I believe God wants me to do are not God's plans at all? We're 14 years down the track, you know, and I'm just thinking, oh, what am I going to do? And my lovely, compassionate, kind, caring wife said, shut up, roll over, go back to sleep. It's God's plan. And I went, yeah, I know it's God's plan. She says, yeah, well, shut up and go to sleep. And I got up in the middle of the night because our youngest daughter, Brittany, was crying. And Danielle was a bit of a terror. She used to love turning the TV off and then turning it up to full volume. She'd go, and that morning I woke up about 3:30 in the morning. Brittany was crying. She was upset and really struggling, you know, to get back to sleep. And I picked her up, put her in my arms, went out, turned the TV on, so I thought, I'm just going to sit here and nurse until she goes back to sleep, not realizing that it was full volume. Turned it on as it came to life, there was a TV evangelist on there, Creflo Dollar. I don't know if you've ever heard of Creflo Dollar. He would be the biggest, blackest African-American man I've ever seen. And as I sat down, he pointed out at the TV and he said, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, your vision is your future. I thought, okay, well, if I don't believe it from what my wife says, I'll believe what he says. And within days, things started to happen. God said, I never want you to ask anyone for money. thought, oh, great. How are we going to do this? He said, well, I will do it, not you. I will do it. That Sunday at church, a man came up to me out of the blue and said, what's God's plan for your life? What sort of question is that? When was the last time you actually walked up to someone as they walked in the church door and said, good morning, I'm Bill. What's your plan for your life? What's God's plan for your life? Bit of an sort of opener. And I said, well, God has given me this vision to go into Western Queensland and blah, 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 blah. And we believe we're right on the edge of it. He said, well, my wife and I came to this church 4 years ago. And we walked in the front door and God pointed us out to you. And he said, one day these people are going to go into ministry and you're going to provide all their needs. God had given me a word many years ago that I would meet a man that would provide all our needs. And he said, my wife and I talked about it and I want to tell you right now, the day you start in ministry, we will pay you $1,200 a month for the next 5 years to do what you need to do. Picked my jaw up off the floor, put it back in, went into church, was talking to Amanda about it, went home, and the phone rang, and it was Jim. And I thought, as we all do, here's the retraction. He's gone home, he's talked to his wife, she's told him he's stupid, and he's going to take her back. He said, I went home and I talked to Connie, told her that, you know, that I'd talked to you this morning about all this stuff, and Connie said, that was 4 years ago. Don't be stupid. They can't live on $1,200. Make it $1,600. $400 a week for the next 5 years. God had given me a vision of a house. And the next words out of Jim's mouth were, has God shown you a vision of a house? I said, yeah, he has. So I want you to go and find it. And then I will buy it. You can rent it off me for the next 5 years for whatever rent you decide you want to pay. And then at the end of that 5 years, I'll give you all that money back as a deposit. You can go to the bank. And the house we live in today is the house that he did that for us. And he was true to his word all the way through. The end of the 5 years came and true to his word, he stopped. And the following Sunday, we met another wealthy man who said, God has told us to pick up where he left off. We're going to give you $250 a month. And then another person came, and another person came, another person came. And God worked it all out. But the flip side of that story, you can say, wow, God is so good in all things. God works together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we believe that. That was the good side. On the flip side, in the midst of all of that, my wife Amanda was starting to get sick. We didn't know what was wrong with her. Had pins and needles in her fingers, then in her legs, then in her arm, then in her body, and then she was numb, totally on the right side of her body. Sciatica, what's going to, you know, it must be something simple like that, must be sciatica. Went to the doctors, no, couldn't find anything, no, no. So here we are in the midst of the most exciting time of our life, you know, and still trying to sort out medical problems. Finally went to Brisbane to see a specialist, and they did CAT scans and MRIs and all those things. And because Amanda is a speech pathologist, she's a medical person, she just wants to know the truth. And so we went back to the doctor on Monday morning, and she said, don't give me any false hope. I just want to know what it is, and just tell me what it is and how we can fix it. He said, well, I don't know what to tell you, except for there's a little Pac-Man eating your brain and you'll be dead in 5 years. You want it? That's how blunt he was. Okay, well, you could have been a little bit less blunt than that, but we'll take that. He said, and if the Pac-Man goes the wrong way, well, then you could just be dead whenever. That was a long walk back to the car for us and a long walk home. And he said, I don't know what it is. We can't even diagnose it. It's undiagnosable. It's odd, something strange. But all we knew, it was an undiagnosed neurological problem, and the right side of her body was completely numb. Came home, and our doctor said to us, after reading the report, if you want to climb Ayers Rock, you better do it before Christmas, because you'll be in a wheelchair after that. So we booked a family holiday to go away. In the midst of all the good stuff, in the midst of all the good stuff, we booked a nice family holiday to go away, probably our last family holiday that we could have. Went down to the Gold Coast and we were watching Amanda got up early one morning and was watching the sunrise and just asking God, because we've been asking God to make her well and heal her and cause her to be well. But nothing was changing. It was getting worse. And so she got up this morning and was watching a TV evangelist. God, us and TV evangelists have something great, I reckon. And it was Benny Hinn, actually, and pre-recorded TV show that she was watching. And it was probably 4 o'clock in the morning. And he said, I'm going to pray for some people this morning who are watching who are sick. And he said, there's someone this morning who's got cancer. God's going to heal you this morning. And the man said, well, that's not me. I haven't got cancer. God, please let the next words be about me. And he said, there's someone watching this morning who's got an undiagnosed neurological problem. And the right side of your body is completely numb. This morning you're healed. And she was. And that's 15 years ago. And she hasn't had a single problem since. Nothing. So in all things, God works together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And God knew that for some reason we had to walk through that. I don't know what the reason we had to walk through it was for, but I know that we were thankful for Jim and Connie who gave us the money, and we had to be thankful for God who was causing Amanda to drift further away from us. And so this morning, my message for you as I close is that God works together for good in every situation that you find yourself in. I don't know what situation you find yourself in this morning, whether it's one of joy or sadness, whether you're grieving someone, whether you've got sickness in your own body or sickness in your family, whether you're financially in a bad situation or whether things aren't just going right. Well, all I know is that in Romans 8:28 it says, in all things, God works together for good. So I love that word all, and I love that word good. Who are called according to his purpose, he works all things together for good. And this morning, I want to encourage you that God is working all things together for good for all of us this morning, because we are all called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church, and thank you for these people, and thank you for a great morning this morning. And thank you that in all things, Lord Jesus, we know that you are with us and that you're working it out for our good. And we just pray that your plans and purposes would work out in our lives this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose and a direction and a hope for each one of us. And as we walk day by day, step by step, as we go out into this week, help us to remember that in everything that happens this week, you have worked it out for our good, because we're called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.